Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 184, Family Coming In. Guest Minister Sarah Velasquez delivered this message for the Covenant Keeping God series on March 14th, 2021.
Okay, thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to share the word. It's good. I am going to be talking about a subject that I feel like the Lord has prompted me, has placed on my heart, about our families. So many of us, I feel like many have been sharing that with me lately. I've been hearing stories of, or prayers and maybe some woes of interacting with our family members, and especially the ones that are not saved, and how much they are on our hearts. And so if they are on our hearts, imagine how they're on the heart of God. Amen. And so my goal today is to tap into the Word of God and to bring... to bring the word that the Holy Spirit can just breathe life on for each person, in thinking about your family and the way that you carry yourself in relationship to your family, and the way you trust God more than anything, the way that you trust God for your family members' salvation and their deliverance and their set freedness to serve God with passion and fire. So the title today is Covenant Keeping God. And I began to study this of how important it really is that God has a covenant with us. We have a covenant with God, and how much that affects our family. Let's just pray to begin. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your presence because you are here and you are among us today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are a God that has chosen to not only dwell among us, but dwell inside of us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. What a privilege it is to be hosts of your presence, temples for you to dwell. We thank you for that. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your covenant with us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would breathe life on your word. Your word is living and it's active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Thank you, Jesus, for using your word today to correct us, to teach us, to discipline us if we need that, to encourage us and uplift us, to exhort us. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for your heart coming through. Thank you, Jesus. I surrender to you. Let it be your message on your heart, and I praise you for that. I give you all the glory and the honor. You are good, and you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the Bible is a covenantal book that reveals a covenantal God. And God's loyalty and faithfulness to covenant, to his covenant, is one of the major themes of Scripture. And you can see it with the start of Genesis all the way to the end. So we're just going to dive into this subject today, this theme of covenant, to see that when God has a plan, God has a purpose, he's going to work that purpose through the covenant to get his goal accomplished, to allow the goal of his heart, really, on behalf of his people. And that's really exciting because we know that nothing can stop the heart and the plan of God, right? Amen. Nothing can stop the purposes of God. So if God's purposes are for us to use us to be a blessing to our families, then that's going to happen. Praise God. We all have some unsaved family members or and friends as well, maybe coworkers, people around you, neighbors that we're concerned about, right, and that we pray for. How many have family members that are unsaved? Okay, the majority of people. When we understand what it really means to be in covenant with God, and when we get that revelation in our hearts that our covenant with God includes our families, it produces a powerful, I believe, a life-changing confidence in the covenant-keeping God. So what is covenant? Scratch your heads. What is covenant? A biblical covenant is an agreement between God and man, and the stipulations command total loyalty, as stated in the first commandment, right? Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Covenant, the Hebrew word for covenant is berit. I don't know if I'm saying that the right way. Berit or berith. And it means treaty, compact, agreement between two parties. It also means faithfulness. Like if those that are married, husband and wife, you say, I do, and you enter into an agreement, a covenant, a pact, right? That you are expected, husband and wife are expected to be faithful to one another. We first see this word berith used in God's covenant with Noah in Genesis 6. Verse 18, when God is telling Noah the plan that he's going to bring the flood waters across the earth, right, to destroy the living creatures. And he says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Did you get that? Noah, God is talking to Noah, right? He's talking to just Noah. Do you think, right? Just him. I don't think the sons were there, the wives were there. But he's saying, I'm establishing a covenant with you. But who all got saved? Who all got to go inside the ark and be saved and not swept away by the floodwaters? The family, right? They were included. Isn't that interesting that God established a covenant with Noah? The covenant itself was with Noah, and that also included his family. Noah entered into covenant with God, but Noah wasn't on the ark alone. Praise the Lord. It just wasn't a man and all these animals, right? That'd be a little zooey. His wife... No pun intended. His wife, his sons, and the sons' wives were saved also. Santos and I got the opportunity, when was that? Last summer, to go to visit the Ark. The Ark Encounter in, I was going to say Kansas. It was another K-State. Kentucky, thank you. It's really an awesome place. If you have the chance to go there, it's really, really cool to see the word come alive in, you know, before your eyes in a visual, physical way. So God cannot break covenant. He's committed to his promises. So he's made a promise with you. He's in covenant with you, and he will not break that. That is good news. Hallelujah. We could just stop right there and be joyful and worship over that. When a covenant is made, the person enacting the covenant would swear by someone higher than himself, so that if the covenant was ever broken, the person would be judged and held accountable to the person higher than him. So when God first established his covenant with man, he could swear by no one higher, right? So who did he swear by? Himself. Hebrews 6. If you want to turn there, Hebrews 6, verses 13 and 14. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, okay, God's making a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. There's no doubt about that, right? God is the highest. There is no one greater. So that means we can absolutely trust If God is swearing on himself, we can rely on, we can rest on that, that our covenant with God is secure, right? That it is stable. It's not going anywhere. It's not changing. Oh, praise God. It's not like a roller coaster. We have the covenant with the rock, right? Firm, solid foundation. And that's who our covenant is with. Praise the Lord. God cannot lie, right? He is not a man that he shall lie. He will remain faithful to his word. So in the times that they would make covenant, the two participants in the covenant are called covenant heads. I did a lot of studying about this. Covenant remains in effect until both covenant heads have died, like the two covenant partners, right? If one covenant head dies, the other will extend the benefits and the blessings of the covenant to, who do you think to? To the family. Oh, listen to that. There's a theme here. To the family of the deceased covenant head. Okay? A blood covenant not only joins the two people, the two participants, it joins two families. That is really cool. Like, wow. another aspect of the covenant, of the ceremony that they used to do, is that the two covenant heads become friends. And I think this kind of gets lost in the English translation, the way we use the word friend. But at the conclusion of this, you know, two covenant partners entering into covenant, they become like blood brothers, you've heard the term, or covenant friends. And that has a stronger implication, I think, than the English word that we use for friend. It's a sacred friendship resulting in each one's pledge of loyalty to the other one. Complete trust. So to betray that covenant brought penalty of death, okay? Covenant friends pledge to protect each other and their families. The enemies of your friends become, or of the covenant partner, become your enemies. And I think I also read that they would also like trade weapons. So if I use certain weapons to fight my enemies and I'm entering covenant with Cheryl and she's got her enemies, and she's got her weapons to fight those, we trade because my enemies are now your enemies and your enemies are my enemies. So bring on the buffalo because we're going to fight and protect each other, right? So praise God. So that's really neat. So just let that all sink in. Like, God, wait a second. God of the universe that created everything that we see, all and us, he enters into covenant with us? Like, seems like we get the much better end of the deal, don't you think? Like, it's a little uneven there, like, oh man, but he is, wow, that's pretty amazing to me. Like, yeah, I walk away like, yeah, I'm doing good because he's fighting my enemies. I guess I'm going to fight his. yes, but through Christ, now that we're in the new covenant, and we'll get there, I can fight those enemies. Praise the Lord. But that just blows my mind that the God of the universe would want to be in covenant with us, you know, in all of our shortcomings and our human frailty, that he would say, yes, I trust that he trusts us to be in covenant with him, to stay loyal to him. That doesn't mean that I have to be perfect. And we're going to see that in scripture when you look at, Abraham, David, all these people that God had covenant with in scripture. They were not perfect. But he does ask for our hearts. He wants all of us. He wants our heart. And to the best of our ability, we want to be loyal to him. We are entering into covenant. We need to take our part seriously of that covenant. He just wants me to keep turning my heart back to him, even when I mess up.
Amen.
And he'll cover me. And that's That's pretty amazing. Pretty darn amazing, I think. So God's purposes are always done through covenant. It's like the vehicle with which he accomplishes his, he gets to express his heart and carry out his plan and his purpose. God's covenant with Abraham was for the purpose of bringing salvation, right? And blessing to the nations. And God's covenant with Israel was for this purpose, also to bring the Messiah into the world. God's covenant with you and with me is to bring salvation and blessing to the generations in your family. Praise the Lord, through you. You are the door. Amen. You are the door. Praise God. What a position, what a privilege that is. So let's take a closer look at God's covenant with Abram. He was Abram at the time that he made the covenant. So we're going to go to Genesis 15. And this is when, just to summarize, because I'm not going to read all of it, this is when God promises to give Abram a son, even despite him being, you know, in upper years. He was older, right, at that time. He took him outside. God took him outside, and he had him look at the stars to represent how numerous his descendants would be. Verse 6, this is Genesis 15, verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Okay, Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Our faith, believing in the Lord and believing what he says when he says a promise to us, or the promises that we have in the Word, it's credited to us as righteousness. It's like put in our bank, right? It's credited to us. That is cool. We can take a lesson here from Abram. Don't look at the circumstances, because it wasn't looking like he was about to, you know, start a family, have a child at, you know, 90 plus years old that he was, I believe, at the time of that. Don't look at the circumstances. I'm preaching to myself, but trust God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Trust God. So verse 18 says, on that day, the Lord made, what does your Bible say?
A covenant.
One person has it. Okay, praise God. Are we awake? We're doing okay? Okay. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, those are all the people, you know, in your generations after you, I give this land from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, and the places he lists out go on. Then we read about the little detour that they took in Genesis 16. I call it the Ishmael detour. Kind of got off track a little bit there. Don't get impatient. That's the message. Isn't it awesome that we get to learn from how others messed up? God can spare us mess ups and heartbreaks and failures. Because we can, it's like when you have an older sibling and you saw them getting in trouble and you saw them messing up. That was my case, because I'm the middle child, and I'm like watching my sister and like, ooh, yeah, I'm gonna steer clear of that. So don't get impatient. Don't mess things up. But the good news is, if you do, God is forgiving. God is merciful. He is so gracious. So let's read there in Genesis 17, skipping ahead here a little bit in the story. And here in this account, it tells us more specifically, it tells us Abram's age. He was 99 years old. So we're going to read Genesis 17, 1 through 11, and then I'll tack on another verse too. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant. Do you hear that? Everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. So then skip down to verse 13. It says, whether born in your household or brought with your money, they must be circumcised. This is the second part here is what I want to focus on. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Okay, so he gives them instructions, right? To it's kind of like a symbolism or a prophetic act of that covenant that he was cutting with Abraham to cut the flesh, right? And that the blood offered through that sacrifice was the part of the covenant. So praise God for that, that he entered into covenant. He cut covenant. I mean, he repeated that so many times that he was entering into covenant. Like, are you getting this, Abraham? I'm entering into covenant with your descendants to the generations after you, right? And he even gave them gifts. He said, and I'll give you this land, right, for your possession. So then skip, you know, the story advances, right? I'm skipping around in my notes here. So God's saying in this covenant, at the time of this covenant, that he will, he's going to give Abraham a son, right? That Isaac, and he even tells him the name, you will name him Isaac. So it's never too late. This is what I take out of this story. It's never too late for the promises of God. Amen. Never consider it. Never count it. Well, I'm already upper in years, or I'm just slowing down, or, you know, or however the circumstances look. It's never too late for God to finish his plan, his purpose. As you are still walking around and breathing on this earth, there's an opportunity for God. There's a miracle waiting to happen. I guess I'll say it that way, okay? So praise the Lord. Let me say that again. There's a miracle ready to happen, waiting to happen. Praise the Lord. So it's us that need to take the limits off, right? Because we have a covenant-keeping God, and he's got covenant with us. That means he holds us. He engraves us, has engraved us in the palm of his hand. So are you expecting to receive your Isaac, that promise that God says it doesn't look like, and maybe it is the salvation of your family. Maybe it's whatever the promise is that you haven't seen yet, and you're like, oh, I'm not sure, it's not happening, and you're looking, stop looking at the circumstances, I'm preaching to myself. Your Isaac is coming because you're in covenant with the covenant-keeping God, okay? So expect to receive your, I call it the Isaac, you know what I mean, right? It's Isaac represents that promise that Abraham at that time was not seeing with his physical eyes. So Genesis 28, verse 14, it says, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. Think about all the dust in the earth. That's a lot, right? He's trying to get his point across here. Like the look up at the starry night sky. That's how your descendants will be. Look at the dust of the earth. He's getting his point across using physical things that we can put our eyes on. That's what it's going to be like, people, a lot, your descendants, right? Or that's what he said to Abraham. All the peoples, this is Genesis 28, continuing in verse 14. I got excited there. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring, he told them. So speed on up, and you can, as you study, you know, look at the Old Testament, you can find this thread, like a cord through of covenant, of how God keeps his covenant, and the people kind of wander off a little bit, go off in the desert, or off in slavery, but the cord of covenant stays consistent because God is consistent, and he's a covenant-keeping God. Praise the Lord. So in Exodus 2, verses 23 to 25, it says, during that long period, and it's talking about the period of slavery, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning. God heard their groaning. And he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Okay, so as I read this, I was like, oh my goodness, that's for me. So read this again, and where it says Abraham, put your own name. And where it says Israelites, put like your own name's apostrophe S's family, right? So Sarah's family. So this is Exodus 2, 23 to 25. During that long, so we're going to read it again like that. And I'm just going to use my name, but you think of it for your name and your family. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. Sarah's family groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard the groanings of Sarah's family, and he remembered his covenant with Sarah and with her descendants. So God looked on Sarah's family and was concerned about them. Woo! Woo! That is powerful. I got really excited when that revelation hit me. Right? That the blessing can start with me and it includes my family. And even when I see them with my physical eyes, like they're not getting it. They're way out in the desert, God. Like they're in slavery. I see bondage. I see chains. And like, here I am. I'm free. I'm enjoying the promised land. And they are in slavery. And our hearts ache for that, right? I know. I'm in a similar situation, believing for my family. But this is really good news because it says even when they're messing up, even when they've turned their backs, just like he did for us, we were all there too at one place in our bondage and our slavery. Let's not forget where God took us out of, right? Because he took us out of bondage in a bad place in the pit, right? We were all in the pit. So let's be humble. Let's remember from where we have come, right? And in praying and thinking about and talking about our family members. But this just magnifies God's mercy and God's grace because he has a covenant with me. He hears the groanings, the crying out, and the trouble, the whatever word you want to put in there, of my family in their bondage, in their mess ups, in their turning their backs on God. God has not turned his back, whoo, I got chills, on my family. Thank you, Jesus, okay? So deliverance to the family of Abraham came because of covenant, right? Deliverance came to the people because God says, no, I have a covenant with Abraham. I'm going after them. I'm bringing them out of slavery, just like he says to you about your family. I see them. I hear their cries for, I see that they have, enslaved themselves in their sin. And my heart is there, and I will rescue them out. So he responds to your prayers. Your prayers are powerful. Your faith is powerful. Don't ever forget that. You have influence. You are the fire starter, okay? You are the door opener. And especially if you are the first Christian in your family, you are a trailblazer. And you will have a target on your back. Let me just tell you the truth. You will have a target on your back in the spirit world because, the defeated one doesn't like to feel defeated, right? And he doesn't like the authority that we walk in. And he doesn't like the potential that he sees in us. He sees Jesus when he sees you. He, when we pray, whoa. When we pray and intercede, if you haven't yet read the chapter, is it 10 or 11? Chapter 11, I think, of Bible study prayer course on intercession and the prayer of agreement, read that. Yeah. Woo! Because you can apply those things to what we're talking about here. Okay. Amen. Back on track. So Deuteronomy 4, verse 31. And this is just further proof. I'm building my case here about God is concerned for your family because it's all throughout scripture here. Deuteronomy 4, 31, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget Amen. The covenant. He will not forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. Remember, he's sworn on himself. Okay. And he's the highest power that there is. He has sworn on himself. He will not forget the covenant with your ancestors. 2 Kings 13. Here's the thread all through the books of the Old Testament. 2 Kings 13, verse 23. But the Lord was gracious to them. How was he? Gracious. He was gracious to them and had compassion and showed concern for them because of his covenant with Abraham. Amen. There it is again, Isaac and Jacob. To this day, he has been unwilling to destroy them or banish them from his presence. Unwilling, like God's unmoving on that. Wow. Because he's remembered the oath, the covenant that he made with you. And that is super powerful, super empowering, super exciting. Amen. Isaiah 59, verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth, when you are with your family members, when you are talking to them, I put those words in your mouth. They will always be on your lips and the lips of your children and on the lips of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. Amen. The Lord has spoken. Okay. So fast forward. God later enters into another covenant, right, God enters into another covenant with Abraham's seed or his descendants at Sinai, right? And that included the blessings and the curses. And God says, you decide, choose life. Here it is, like what we read in Deuteronomy 29, I believe it is, right? 28, okay, I was in the ballpark. So I just want to say too, a little disclaimer here. When we are talking about the covenant that we have with God, God heart is for our family. God is remembering them. He's hearing their cries. He sees, even despite their sin and their slavery, he is for them, and his protection, blessing, the shalom peace of God that we have in Jesus extends over our family and our descendants. But I just do want to clarify that that doesn't mean that my family members can ride in on my salvation. They can't just coast in on the coattails, thank you, coattails of my faith and receive and enjoy eternal salvation if they have not yet, each one, you know, made a personal decision. At some point, they have to stand up, and maybe you were there where, you know, that maybe you came into the kingdom from somebody else, you know, grandparents or parents or siblings that prayed for you, and you know, their faith carried you, right, for a time, perhaps. But, you know, the Bible is very clear that it says salvation comes, Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? It's the green life on the revived tool wristband, that it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved, right? So I just want to say, just to clarify, oh yeah, my family's good then, like they have salvation too then because of the covenant that God has with me. Well, not quite. God's covenant extends to cover them, and God's heart is for them, and he is especially looking out for them. The grace and the favor and the protection and the peace, the shalom peace of God, extends to them, but they will have to make a personal decision and say, I want Jesus as Lord. I saw how it worked in Cheryl's life. I saw how it worked in Julie's life. I saw how it worked in Janice's life, and I want that too, your family members, okay? I see that in your life, in Auntie Ellie's life, or, you know, Grandma Ellie's life, and I want that for me. And at some point, you know, God will push them along. A Holy Spirit will ordain that moment that they get to choose and enjoy on earth, and hopefully it's longer span of life that they get to enjoy that shalom peace of God while they're living and not just in his eternal presence, right? But don't give up, because like we said, your prayers are powerful. The covenant that God has that extends to our family is powerful, and your prayers and your influence is more powerful than you really know. It really is. They watch you. They watch you like a hawk, even if they don't comment on it, or maybe they comment negatively on it. I'll maybe say it that way. But they are watching you, and they are seeing the effect that Jesus has in your life. And next week, this is the first part, so buckle up. Next week, we're going to be talking even more like practical things about sharing it with your family, like how to cooperate with God. God told me that, like, that's going to be the title of the message, I think. Something about cooperating with God, because we don't want to get in the way, and sometimes we get in the way, right? And so we just want to cooperate with God's plan and purpose, because we're the fire starter, and so we want to be just an aid to God in that process of him bringing them into the kingdom, right? So another fast forward here in our line talking about covenant throughout Scripture. Fast forward to Jesus. Praise the Lord. We have a better covenant now. Jesus is the son or the seed of Abraham. He's the true seed, right? It was to Abraham and his seed, or Christ, that the promises were made. You can see that the promises of salvation and redemption have their foundation in that covenant with Abraham. And that's why I spent some time talking about that, because I think it's really helpful to understand what covenant was like and what that meant in, like, in the Old Testament times to the Jewish people, to understand that, like, when we read that we have a, you know, a new new covenant based on better promises, we understand the background, the foundation of what that meant, that covenant, right? The covenant like that God cut with Abraham. So we are now Abraham's seed. We are enjoying that promise, the manifestation of that promise, which is Christ Jesus, right? When we are born again, we enter into that covenant through faith, through our faith in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So the laws of circumcision are no longer like in effect. Jesus said, you know, I came to circumcise your heart, right? And Jesus satisfied the blood requirement, the sacrifice, once and for all. I'm paraphrasing, but let's go to the some of the scriptures here. Hebrews really has a lot about the covenant and Jesus and the new, that he's the new covenant. Hebrews 8, 6 through 13. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. Amen. So God kept the covenant that he made with Abraham, but Abraham, you know, messed up at different times. He strayed from the path, the whole Ishmael detour, but the covenant that we have is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. This is verse 8 now, Hebrews 8. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant. And I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear." So praise the Lord for that new, the new covenant that we have in Jesus. Hebrews 10 also talks about this, 14 through 16. I love this. For by one sacrifice, Jesus did it one time, amen, right? Can you imagine all the sacrifices that the Israelites had to do, like periodically, all the time, right? One sacrifice he has made perfect forever, those who are being made holy. That's you and that's me. We're being made holy, set apart. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." You have God's law on your mind, in your mind. You have God's law in your heart because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Like, we're not, it's not like he's not outside of us. He's in us. What he, his heart has been engrafted, placed into us because of Jesus and Jesus's immense display of love on the cross. A covenant believer, that's you and that's me, we can open the doors of salvation. Can you see that? Like, open a big door of salvation to your family by walking with God the way Abraham did, right? That means, number one, walking in obedience and faith. And we already talked about, he didn't do it perfectly, but he got back on track when he messed up, right? So walk in obedience and faith, and two, intercede on behalf of his of your family, and expect God to heal and deliver, because that's what the word says. God hears the prayers of you, the righteous, right? James 5:16. Do you all know this by heart? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man and woman avails much. Your prayers avail much. Hallelujah. Don't underestimate them. I am preaching to myself. Okay. Benefits, the benefits of covenant. Really quick, because I want to give a little more attention to something else. So, and you can write this down and then study this. Homework for the week, like Leviticus 26, 9 through 13. Pick out, this is your homework. Read that and pick out the benefits of covenant. Like, what do you see in there? I'll give you a few. And then the rest you do as homework, okay? Leviticus 26, 9 through 13. When I read that, I see favor. I see loyalty, like God's continuing. He's continuing to renew his covenant with us. I see God's presence. I see that we belong to him. I see freedom from captivity. That stood out. Peace, right? Freedom from captivity is peace. Lifted bondages. I see it says at the end, I think it says, hold that you will hold your head up, with your heads held high. Dignity, right? Dignity and respect, even coming from a place of out of slavery. Wow. Okay. I wanted to just be able to spend a little time here on biblical examples of salvation coming to households, because this will really encourage us. And some of these we know are more common. Cornelius, we know about this story, right? In Acts 10, that God chose Cornelius to share the gospel and chose him and his house as the first work among the Gentiles of like, okay, the Israelites are not quite getting it, so we're going to go to share with the Gentiles. And that's us. We are engrafted in. Praise God. So Cornelius, right, he gathers his family and friends together to hear the gospel that Peter brought, the message that Peter shared with them. And so Cornelius is a good example of how through one person, the whole family, like, let's have a meeting, let's have a church, let's have church up in here in our home, you know? It can be the door, you can be the door through which the gospel comes to your family and friends. Another example that we've talked about, the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, right? When Paul and Silas are beaten and whipped and they're in prison and their feet are in stocks and it's midnight and they're bleeding and it's a terrible dungeon, dark place. And what are they doing? They are praising and singing God. Hallelujah. Let us learn from them. And right, what happens? The earthquake shakes the place and bondages are broken, you know, chains are loosed and they're all out of their chains, right? And the Philippian jailer is beside himself about to commit suicide, right? And they say, no, it's okay. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they responded, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So they spoke the word of the Lord to him, right? And he took them and he cleaned their wounds, the word says, and immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Wow. That's just like really cool. Another example, Acts 16, 15. The household of Lydia was baptized. That's in the same chapter before we get to the story about them being in prison. So, okay, more homework to study these a little bit more in depth. I'm just mentioning them. The household of Crispus. Remember Crispus? Okay, so go study Crispus. The household of Crispus received salvation. Acts 18, verse 8. and I didn't write this one down, but it popped into my head right now, is because, and Michael Livengood talked about Obed-Edom from the Old Testament, I believe, right? I forget where that was, but Obed-Edom, he and his household were blessed, saved and blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Salvation came also to the house of Zacchaeus, Luke 19, verse 9. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." Don't you want Jesus to say that to you? "Today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham." Wow, that's cool. We are seeds of Abraham through our faith, right? Another really good example of a family, the protection of God and salvation of over a person and their family is Rahab, in the Old Testament, right? Rahab the harlot, she's an example of faith. She used her faith. She believed for the deliverance and the deliverance of her family, and it saved her. And her house, praise God. Hebrews 11, she made it into the Hall of Fame, so she did something right. She had some faith that was pretty significant, I think, in the eyes of God, right? Hebrews 11, verse 31, faith provided a way of escape. Think about that. Faith providing a way of escape for Rahab the prostitute, avoiding the destruction of the unbelievers because she received the Hebrew spies in peace. Wow. Your faith can offer a way of escape and cause salvation, influence salvation of not only you, but your family. Praise the Lord. And David is an awesome example also. And he's another one that is an example of God's mercy and grace. I have covenant with David, but he didn't always do it, walk out perfectly, right? But David's family and his descendants benefited from the covenant that God made. Wouldn't you say? Yeah? Amen. God's mercy prevented his family from being destroyed. Acts 13, 26 through 27. More homework. I'm adding more homework. It says it talks about, well, I'll just summarize it. So it says, "Fellow children of Abraham and you, God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent." This is Acts 13, 26 through 27. "The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath." Then jump to 32. "We tell you the good news. What God promised to our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus." This is talking about the new covenant that we have in Jesus. "As it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. As God had said, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David.'" Praise the Lord. I want to share just one thing, and then I'm going to have a sister come up and give a testimony. I felt prompted to share this, and maybe some of you know this story, this dream. I realized that this dream is a covenant dream. Okay, so I've been praying for my salvation ever since. I've been praying for the salvation of my family members ever since I got saved. About 14, 15 years ago, maybe now. I've kind of lost track. It's so good. Time flies when you're having fun with Jesus. And so I don't know when this, maybe just a few years into being born again and saved, I had this dream that I was standing on an observation deck, like looking out at like a big body of water. And you know, they have those like big binocular things that you put a quarter in or whatever, and you can look around at all. And there's lots of tourists, and everyone's looking at whatever, we're looking at the water and the beauty, and I'm there with my brother and my mom, and specifically, and all of a sudden, panic starts to break out among all the people on the deck because there's a big tsunami coming toward the deck, and we all realize that we are in trouble because it is going to just wipe us all out, and it's approaching, right? And so mayhem breaks out, and everyone's running and screaming and looking for safety. And did you know that God has like zoom in, zoom out? So in my dream, God zoomed in, like, I want you to get this part, Sarah. It zoomed in on me grabbing my mom's hand on one side and grabbing my brother's hand on the other side. And I say, come, follow me. And we turn and I'm leading them to the back of this observation deck where there are gateway. There's a big gateway, an archway, and it's like circular like this. I can still see it. Praise the Lord. And I have the two of them and we're running. I'm taking them. Maybe I wasn't even running. I was like confident, you know, like, here we go. Like, I know where I'm going. And I get to the archway and there's a guard at the archway. And guess what? I know the guard. I know the guard. And I don't even know if there was any exchange, like eye contact, a wink, a password through the wink. I don't know, but the guard knows me and I know the guard, and he opens the door and we go down into safety, like into shelter, and that was it. Scene closed, dream over. And I realized as I was preparing this message, that is a covenant dream. That is a covenant dream because God says, I know the covenant that I have with you, Sarah. And that extends to your family. And you will be the door. And he says that, I share that with all of you to encourage all of you. He says the same for you, that you will be the door by which your family members and you can extend that to your friends and coworkers that you are believing for as well. They will be led to the guard, to the one who can give them safety and protection and the shalom peace of God. So let that encourage you. I'm going to have Sister Donna come up. The Lord showed me to have her, to give her an opportunity to just share a testimony, because I don't know, I guess I've known Donna for about 6-7 years, and I don't know her whole life story with her family. Come on up, and don't be shy. But what I do, little snippets that the Lord has allowed me to be a part of and hearing my sister's heart for her family has just been really, really awesome, and God just showed me her face of, like, let her share about what she has experienced with her family and seeing the faithfulness of God. So it's all yours, and then we'll do our conclusion.
There's so much to share about our families. You know, we all want our families to be saved. Well, we want everybody to be saved, but our families, I think, are at the top of our list. And, you know, when I first got saved, I drove my family insane. They were glad when I moved away for 6 years or so. But we all come from a wide variety of families, and we all have vast experiences with them. And normally when a person in a family gets saved, the rest of the family is in shock. They don't understand. They don't want to hear it.
Right.
And your heart is so full because you know the way out,
right.
And you want all of them to be with you. And so in our zeal, we usually, quote unquote, become Bible thumpers. We all become holier than thou. But I believe probably the greatest thing that God did in my heart with my family and really with everyone was to show me that a sinner does what a sinner does.
Right.
I mean, they don't know any different. They have no clue what you're talking about. And they're going to go about their life. They do what comes naturally, you know, as Sarah said, just like all of us did. And we live by our natural instinct. We live by our flesh. And we as believers, in our zeal, we don't understand why they don't get it. You know? And, you know, we get hurt. We get frustrated. We get down even spiritually. And because we want them so much to be saved.
Yes.
But the Word of God says that the person, this is in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God and considers them foolishness. And further, it says they cannot understand. They can't, because these things are known to us. They're discerned by the Spirit of God.
Yes,
and a non-believer does not have the Spirit of God. So when they look at you like you have a third eye, don't be offended.
Amen.
They cannot understand what you're saying. And it is silliness to them. And also in Romans, it says the mind governed by the flesh, this is Romans 8:7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. And it does not submit to God's law. Nor can it do so. It can't. They don't know. So those, and then it says, those are in the realm of the flesh, cannot please God. So, and one more, 2 Corinthians 7:10, I wanted to say this because a lot of times when we talk to people, you know, they might project a sorrow, but a lot of times it's a sorrow because they got caught or they're exposed. You know, it's not a godly sorrow, because godly sorrow leads to repentance.
Amen.
So, so I guess the next thing is that so how do we approach them? This seems like insurmountable, but the Lord told us to reach them. So, as my pastor taught me a long time ago, let's look and see what Jesus did. You know, how did Jesus live with them? What did he do? Well, we know that he did not condemn people.
No, he did not. Yeah.
He did not, he had a compassion. He understood their struggles. He proclaimed the way to forgiveness. He showed them. He was an example. He didn't just preach it. And he loved. He loved them. In all of their filth, he loved them. He did not judge them condemned. He showed them the way. He was accessible. You know, he didn't, I'm amazed. He never turned anybody away. You know, he would be so tired, you know, from preaching and walking and ready to go home for the evening. And here they all came, dropping people down through his roof. And he never said, hey, you know, can we just do this tomorrow? He was accessible. And he was not worried about what the religious people said. And he wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. He was honest. He didn't sugarcoat it. He said that following him, we had to all take up our cross to follow him. It's not easy to live the Christian life. A lot of people, you know, they, again, in our zeal, because we know the end story, you know, but living that life, it's a everyday decision. And even though it's so blessed and we wouldn't want it any other way, it's hard. So we should pray to love like he does. Yes. Be available without strings. Not to have ulterior motives. Don't always be looking for opportunities to drop that holy bomb on somebody. I'm just saying. They're expecting that every time they see you.
There's your
Yeah. Be real. Be honest. Be vulnerable. Walk your talk. Don't be hypocritical. Be aware of who's around you and that they're watching, as Sarah says. And do life with them. Do life with them. That was an amazing thing to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what Jesus did. He lived with them. He didn't just see them one time a week. He lived with them, and he did life with them. He did what they do. He was there with them, you know, in their workplace, you know, in their struggles, in their need. He was with them, and he did life with them. He didn't say, oh, well, they're in a mess. I'm going to get out of here. Not good. Not good. When they bring up your past, you know, because we're holy. Yeah. And we're so much more holy than they are. And they will bring it up. That you're not. The very best thing to do is to own it.
Amen.
Own it. That's why we need Jesus.
Amen.
That's why you need Jesus.
Amen.
We are not perfect. We are sinners. And we have accepted that free gift of salvation. That's what makes us different. That's the only thing that makes us different. We are the same. We know what they're going through because we've done it. We've been there. So when they bring up all that, that we used to do, prayerfully, just say, I know. I know. You're absolutely right. And I was powerless to stop, or I didn't know, but now I do know, and what he's shown me, and how he's been there with me, how he's done this with me, how he's brought me through, you know, and what he can do for you. You know, you don't have to, you can conquer that because of him, his spirit in you. So don't be afraid of those kind of things. Right. Don't be afraid, oh, they're good. They, you know, your family knows it all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So I think the big thing is to pray to love like he loves.
Amen.
And when you take these things into consideration, that they cannot understand. So you begin to pray, and like most of you, I've prayed for my family my whole saved life, which has been a long time. Praise God. And when you talk to them, you know, it's like it's not going anywhere. It's never going to happen. But the seed that we plant, it's not your opinion.
That's right.
Don't try that, because they definitely are not listening to you. You know, it's like, you really? I was there when that happened, you know. And so your opinion about things and your advice, your personal experience, doesn't change lives. But what does change lives is
the Word of God.
Because the Word of God is powerful. It's creative. He created the world by speaking His Word.
Yeah.
And He gave us His Word. And we don't have to worry about, I don't know what I'm going to say. What if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? Google it. I don't know what else to say. Google it. But more importantly, if you put the Word in, the Holy Spirit has something in you to work with.
Amen.
So, read the Word. You know, read the Word. Listen to the Word. Listen to the Word. The Word. I laughed because one time Pastor said that he listened to his iPod all the time, and I just sat there and laughed because when I got my iPod, I had those earbuds in my ears for 4 years. Day and night. I was at work. I would have one in so I could hear people when they came and stuff, but I listened to it all the time. And I mainly did it because I wasn't being holy, just so you know. I wanted to be holy. I wanted the Word of God to change my life. But it's the Word of God that gets us through our difficulties, or through our hard times. And even at night when I would go to bed, I'd fall asleep. But when I would wake up, it was on.
Right.
And I know that, and I didn't even really think about this, but I know that, I mean, I say things, I don't even know I read it. You know, I say something from the Word of God that, you know, oh, well, man, I must have got that in my sleep. Yeah. So put the Word in. So the Holy Spirit has something to work with. And don't worry about it. you've all talked to people, you've all sat there, and all of a sudden the Word of God comes to you. That's the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to be afraid. The Holy Spirit is going to use you because you're available. And so I want to bring this to a close. I was reading in Mark 4:35 about Jesus calming the storm. I've read that story many times. But this time, what jumped out to me in my heart were the little boats that were with him. I'm like, okay, that's all it is. Just those few little words. Never says another word about him. I'm like, okay, why did you do that, Lord? Who cares if there's little boats with you? You know, it's a sea. What do you think? Yeah. So, anyway, the Holy Spirit said, well, the sea, you know, that's like the sea of life. And we, as believers, are in the boat with Jesus. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. But what about the little boats? And he says, that's your family. That's your friends. You're all out there on the sea of life. And all of a sudden the storm comes up. Yeah, like that never happens. Okay. So, but you know, in our boat is the man that has the answers.
Amen.
And he stands up and he says, be still. And we're like, wow. And so these other people, he's not in their boat. But they're in the sea. The same storm that got calmed for me got calmed for them. So through us, what the Lord does, they see. The peace and the calm from our life affects them, and they see. So don't ever think that God doesn't want to use you with your family, because he does. I know that it says that, and sometimes you can use it as a cop-out, that there isn't, in your family, you get very little respect. That's true. They love you. And the Holy Spirit, when you pray about loving like he loves, you pray for fertile ground, good soil. You pray. I began to pray years ago, Lord, don't let them die not knowing you. And he has honored that. And I'm so grateful and so thankful. And so just keep doing what you're doing. Don't give up. Amen. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Amen. 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 Thank you, sister. Thank you, Donna. That was awesome. It's so good to encourage one another with testimonies. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit came up with a name for you. You are Sister Green Thumb. You know why? Because I remember one of the first, just something that I remember that I received from you when I first came to my father's house, and Donna was one of my first friends, and Cheryl, and I didn't have friends here in Fort Wayne. I was new to the area. And I remember, you know, we'd have conversations about our family or our friends or people that we wanted to share with, and Donna would always say, you know, you just got to plant. Just keep planting. And she would, like, do this, or maybe this, I don't know if you did this or I did this, but like as if you had this imaginary satchel over your shoulder with like a bag of seeds, and she would just say, plant, 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 plant. Just go around and you just gotta plant, plant, plant. So you are Sister Green Thumb, because you plant and the Lord waters, and it's just awesome to see that that how faithful he has been because of the covenant that he has with you, that you know, all the beautiful garden that he allows you to help, you know, tend in your family and other people around you. And I remember, too, that you had shared about what you just said there at the end about praying that they would be people that you share the gospel with. You pray that they will be fertile soil. And there it is, the whole Green Thumb theme again. So, Sister Green Thumb, I present you, Church Sister Green Thumb. Praise the Lord. We got Sister Sandpaper and Sister and Sister Green Thumb. Who do you want to be your best friend? We can grow from both of them. Praise the Lord. Plant, 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 plant. Okay. It's good to laugh. Praise the Lord. All right, let's land the plane here. In conclusion, this whole subject of, praise God, the subject of, I got sidetracked by Sister Sandpaper and Sister Green Thumb. We'll be adding others to the family, I'm sure. So the theme of a covenant, we can stand strong and confident, not in ourselves, but in the covenant keeping God, right? In the covenant that we have with God, that it covers your family. It was the covenant with, Abraham that God used, God transformed Abraham, right? To like, sort of a doubting Abram into the very father of faith. So you don't have to like strive or try to believe the promises of God, but by understanding the significance of the covenant that you have with God and asking this week the Holy Spirit for revelation of that covenant, and not just the effects of that on your family, but on your whole life, just on whatever God wants to highlight to you, show you, that then you can be full of faith like Abraham was. Romans 4:20 says, strong in faith, it's talking about Abraham, strong in faith, fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. That's how I want to be, and that's how I want to be known. Strong in faith, that would be good, like words on the tombstone, right? At my death. Sarah, strong in faith, fully persuaded what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen. And so, isn't it amazing that, you know, we have even such much better covenant than Abraham did. So praise the Lord, because God, we can rest assured that God has them. God has our family. Your obedience to God, your faith decision, and your daily choice to obey and walk after God does not go unnoticed. And I just want to say that. It does not go unnoticed. It will. Your faith, your walk, your journey with God will affect your entire family. It's influencing your family and your friends and everyone you come into contact with, even if you don't see it with your physical eyes or not. So I just say that to encourage you. Let's keep going. Let's be strong in the faith, fully persuaded that God has the ability and will accomplish, send his word out, it will accomplish what it was sent out for.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.